Okay, we are told that Tigach Miriam Hanavia Achos Aaron as Hatof Biadav. Miriam, the brother of Aaron, took the tambourine, the instruments in her hand. Atetena kol anashim acharev v'supim v'cholos, and her and the women went around and they were singing and dancing, celebrating the Kriyas Yamsef. So we see here the use of an instrument in Avodas Hashem. We see the use of an instrument of davening to Hashem, praying to Hashem, and it is interesting to note that throughout all of Jewish history, we don't really find the use of instruments in our tefillah. The Beis HaMikdash is its own place, so we'll talk about that in a moment, but we don't find the use of instruments in tefillah, that people bring in instruments to the shul during davening. And you would think, you know, we sing and some people dance during davening, but we don't find the use of musical instruments in tefillah. And as we'll discover in a moment, even in the records of davening throughout history, we don't have people using instruments at large. We'll discuss some specific cases, but we don't have these types of things. And that obviously begs the question, why? And then the second question is that we have discovered, or we do know, that in recent years there are different groups and different types of places in certain yeshivas and certain shuls where they do have certain minyanim on Rosh Chodesh, where they'll bring instruments and guitars and bongos and things like that, and they'll play music. And some people say, you know, this is certainly part of, you know, davening and enhances the davening with music and the like. And other people say, no, this is not what we do. We don't have such a record of this, and perhaps it's inappropriate. So let's see what the halach is, what the poskim say regarding the issue of not music in shul and davening, but musical instruments in shul and davening. The Shulchan Aruch and Simon Shin Lam Ches, at the very end of Hilchos Shabbos, discuss the halachos of making music on Shabbos. And there in Sif Beis, the Shulchan Aruch writes that there is a heter for a guy to play music for a celebration on Shabbos of a chuppah that took place before Shabbos, right? They would get married Erev Shabbos, and they, for the sake of having Simchas Chasen V'Kala during the celebrations that fell on Shabbos, it was allowed because of Kavod Chasen V'Kala for the sake of the Missa. Certainly that carries controversy with it, and it's not our discussion for right now, but there, the Mishabur and Sifkat and Yud notes that in all other circumstances, you cannot have a guy play music for you on Shabbos. And then he cites the Tshuva of the Ma'ari Asad. The Tshuva of the Ma'ari Asad, the Talmud of the Chasam Sofer and Chelek Aleph and Simon Tess, quotes the Tshuva of Mordechai Bennett, who says that it's usher to have a guy play music for us during davening on Shabbos, and he explains there's no mitzvah to have music during tefillah. In addition, the shvus, the derabanan of playing music with their instruments is very chamer, it's a very serious gzeir, it's not one we treat lightly, and therefore, for Shabbos, and therefore we're not lenient, even b'makom mitzvah, says the Ma'ari Asad, says Mordechai Bennett, we are not lenient to have Gayim play music for us on Shabbos, unless that specific case the Shulchan Aruch is talking about. And then the Mishabura says, and he quotes the Tshuva of the Chasam Sofer in Chelek Vav and Simen Pei Vav, who brings a proof that not only is it usher to play music on Shabbos in the shul, but it's even usher to play music during the week with an instrument in shul, regardless of Shabbos. And the Chasam Sofer repeats this idea in a number of tshuvas as well, in Simen Pei Tes. And what is the story and the full understanding of the tshuva of the Chasam Sofer? There, the background is as follows. In 1820, in Hamburg, there was a number of early reformers who wanted to make a new temple, the Hamburg Temple. And they had a number of changes. They wanted to daven in the vernacular, the language. They wanted to change certain references in the davening. And they also wanted to have davening with an organ on Shabbos and a non-Jew playing the organ in the shul. So the Chasam Sofer responded, as did Rabbi Akiva Eiger, as did the Chavos Yair, as did many of the Gedolim of that time, in a number of letters that were collected in one volume called Eila Divrei Abris, which essentially put a damper on the Hamburg Temple's policy. Eventually went to a court case, and the temple lost its rights to be under the Orthodox jurisdiction, and that's not for right now. But within the context of that discussion, so the Chasam Sofer wrote a tshuva, and he begins by discussing the issue of the organ itself. An organ in Hebrew is called an ugav. Now, an ugav we have in Tehillim, we say it in Pesukei Zimra. The ugav is really a flute. It's a wind instrument that's played through a pipe. And in Bereishis, it says that Yuval created the Ugav. That was one of the things he did in the beginning of time. The Ugav, this instrument, was what was used for many generations. And the Chasam Sofer says that the Ugav was never used in the Beis HaMikdash. It was not an instrument that was used Bisman Beis HaMikdash. And he says the reason is that the word Ugav is profane, and it's not appropriate to have it in a holy place, because the name reminds us of Shirei Agavim, romantic songs, songs of love and songs of lust in appropriate music. Also, the word agave means a person's backside, and that's not appropriate as well. And just like we don't bring meiraglayim, as the Mishnah says, we don't bring meiraglayim, urine, into the Azara because its name is not appropriate to bring such a thing, such a name into the Azara, even to use for certain types of a katoris and things like that. So too, we should not bring a kli, we shouldn't use a vessel, says the Chassam Sofer, into the Beis HaKnesses, because the Beis HaKnesses is a mikdash ma'at, it's a holy place, and not appropriate to bring a vessel that has such a name into shul. This is a very long tshuva of the Chassam Sofer, this is just one piece. Then the Chassam Sofer says, you shouldn't use this kli, because it looks like chukas hagayim, because you go into a church, they have an organ. They have an organ with the pipes in the church, and it's not appropriate to bring such a vessel, use such a vessel in our shuls, in their instrument of avodah zarah. And they would only use these organs in their churches, and they wouldn't be found anywhere else. Specifically, the organs was designed to be a church type of instrument. It was not used to sing happy birthday at children's events. It was an organ, it was a tool that was used specifically in churches, and therefore the organ, or obviously not a flute, but the organ, the ugav, should not be found in a shul as well. The Chassam Sofer says you shouldn't even put it in the Ezras Nashim. It shouldn't be anywhere in the shul at all. Just the, I grew up in Scarsdale, Youngers of New Rochelle, the old building was renowned, famous, that the old building was in a church. So the extent that the main sanctuary was in the shape of a cross. You couldn't get more churchy than that. You're literally davening in a giant cross. And the organ was removed, but the organ pipes were in there for many, many, many years. So you'd go to daven, and behind the Aron Kodesh were these organ pipes sticking up, something that certainly also seemed very churchy as well.
But that's, everything drums are careful. If you took that, because I remember actually this issue with Rabbi Wethels was doing Shabbos for a number of years, and I remember years ago we discussed this issue, because one brought it up when I was here, and he basically said, if you get the Chassam Sofer, obviously since then nobody will go against it. Is the original reform talks about Shuvah? Shuvah talks about a very serious thing. Now, the Chassam Sofer might have had, I'm not saying he's from Med Halacha principles, but we're looking now in a world after the Chassam Sofer, which is really unfair to look at the issue before the Chassam Sofer, because the Chassam Sofer had influence and nobody would have one today.
We're going to see non Chassam Sofer sources as well. This is just source number one.
I'm saying there's an argument. It wasn't complete Shavuos and Shavuos and we welcome mitzvah. Some people won't have eternal lights on Shabbos.
Correct, but this is not a Shabbos issue.
No, but it's a goy. It's the same issue. We have a goy doing something for you. It's the same issue.
No, but our concern here is tefillah. We're not concerned about Shabbos going anything like that. My concern only is with tefillah.
So you're saying an organ on Monday morning
would be a problem, says the Chassam Sofer, because okay. It's not appropriate to have it in a Jewish place. Then he comes to the last point. And the last point is that from the days of the Chorban Abayas, it has been usher to use instruments for inyane gavoa, for things of higher callings, things of Kedusha. We only use our mouths and we don't use instruments, says the Chassam Sofer, in our tefillah. These are besume kala, our voices sweeten the instruments sweeten the sound. They make the davening even more nicer, and therefore, says the Chassam Sofer, it's incorrect use of simcha. We don't have the Beis HaMikdash, we're in a place of Chorban, the Beis HaMikdash had instruments, and now we're going to bring instruments, and we're going to pretend like we are on this level of the Beis HaMikdash.
Before Nachum Ratzwa, they didn't have music anybody, we wouldn't have concerts, so we have concerts now, should be the same issue.
Perhaps. So the Chassam Sofer's particular issue, though, is in the form of avoda, our avoda, to bring in instruments. That's something special for the Beis HaMikdash, and we don't bring in those instruments for our avoda. It's not appropriate in our time. And this is the tshuva of the Chassam Sofer. It's very, very long, but these are the three major points, not to use any instruments during davening. That's the last one here. Comes the Stei Chemet, and he writes the Asifas Dina Mareches Chasen Vakala, and he says that there is someone who writes that the Chassam Sofer only had a problem with the organ, but other instruments were allowed, and the Seichemed rejects this assertion, and it's clear to the Chassam Sofer and the Seichemed that it was all instruments, it only wasn't just, that last point wasn't just a discussion about organs. Then the Seichemed continues the Mareches Beis HaKnesses, and he cites a tshuva of the Leiv Chaim Reb Chaim Palagi in Chelik Beis in Simen Taf. Who's also machmir to not have instruments in shul. Now, this is important to note. Reb Chaim Palagi is in Turkey. There is no reform. There is no nothing that he's fighting against. He's not writing a polemic against any particular movement. He's simply writing his opinion about somebody who asked him a question about the use of instruments in shul. And he's writing here in the 1850s, and he responds as follows. Now, the tshuva is long also, and he's writing about a lot of other things, minhagim, how do minhagim develop, what it, when the minhagim change. We're not concerned right now. We're concerned about the particulars of the issue of the instruments in shul. So it begins by noting how terrible this is to change a minhag, how it causes disunity in arguments, and doing so is mazals of the previous generations when you change a minhag, and it says they were doing something wrong. It creates a slippery slope that can lead to things that are usser. And then he goes on to a lengthy discussion about where minhagim come from, the impact of changing a minhag, fine. And then he gets to our discussion about instruments in shul. And Rechaim Palagi says that music in a shul enhances the tefillah, says the questioner, makes it nicer to daven. So he says it's true that music was there for kabbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, and this should be an argument why music should not be used. He says, in history, when do we ever find musical instruments in our tefillah? It was never done before. It wasn't something that Jewish people did. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. We don't find the Nevi'im using music in their tefillos. We don't find anything resembling in the Gemara, the Rishonim, in the Gaonim, anywhere. Everyone said, you would have thought, someone would have said, hey, everyone likes instruments. Let's bring an instrument for davening. But nobody says it ever, says Rechaim Palagi. And there we have plenty of things that are Zeichel HaMikdash. How come nobody said, ah, they had an instrument based on Mikdash, so we should have Zeichel HaMikdash, you know, an instrument here in our shuls. But nobody ever says that. On one hand, he says, no, tefillah should emerge from simcha, and we want to have joy. But on the other hand, we have Ivduas Hashem b'simcha, but as we saw in the daf a few days ago, the Gemara has this struggle regarding how do we serve Hashem? Should it be with by Tefillas Chana, Bihimaras Nefesh, she was embittered. And then the Gemara says, the Pasuk in Tehillim, Hishtachlo Hashem Bahadras Kodesh, we should daven to Hashem Bahadras Kodesh, and the Gemara says, Becherdas Kodesh, we should have a sense of awe and trepidation. And then the Gemara makes a concludes by saying, Ivdu Hashem Beyira, Begilu Barada. There's this balance between Gila, between rejoicing, and this balance between Ra'ada of seriousness when it comes to tefillah as well. So what should it be? So Rechaim Palagi says, you need both. You need to be happy that you have a privilege and the tremendous zechus to talk to a Kadosh Baruch Hu and daven in a shul and connect in such a beautiful way. But at the same time, has to come before the king, before the melech, with awe and fear and trepidation as well. Your person should be happy, but also with seriousness at the same time. He quotes the Eliyahu Rabbah, Chizkiyahu HaMelech was punished with illness because he davened about Sancheirim, but he didn't have enough Yiras Hashem. He was too rejoiceful. He didn't have enough awe, Yira, in his tefillah regarding the miracle of Sancheirim. And therefore, says Rechaim Palagi, musical instruments have no place in davening. Any minhag that would mix such music with tefillah must have come from a mistake, a chazan who, you know, did something wrong, a balabas who made a wrong decision, but nobody would ever think to put musical instruments into davening. And then he says, again, he concludes and says, so many generations of Gadol Yisrael didn't say to put instruments into the Beis HaKnesses, and if music was so important for tefillah, somebody would have said something before. It can't be that all of a sudden, 2,000 years later, everybody woke up and said, you know, oh, instruments. Clearly, somebody would have had such an idea beforehand. We use instruments all the time in other areas of our life. And now, why would we think to put it into davening now?
420 years ago?
So what?
I thought the base of halacha was, not now, but except for Shiro Hoda for a chas mekala, you couldn't have music after the base of Mingus. So that wouldn't be so we couldn't have they didn't have concerts, didn't have anything.
We didn't have concerts, but we do have references of, you know, Simchas Beis HaShoeva and things like that.
Chas Mekala, basically.
No, Simchas Beis HaShoeva.
Simchas Beis HaShoeva.
We do have Simchas Beis HaShoeva, and those types of things go back for centuries already in different communities.
They have concerts.
In Greece and Sparta countries. Yeah, they would use instruments. Again, the issue of using instruments we generally find specifically to maybe Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, but we would have there would be instruments being used as well. So that's the tshuva of Rechaim Palagi. He's not alone. In our days as well, the Minchas Yitzchak Dayan Weiss writes in Chelek Hei, he says, L'chein einachon laharos simcha yiseir b'beis haknesses u'beis hamedrash. You shouldn't have the success of simcha, but l'chein roi gedolei hadoros kepirtza ra b'minag ha-meschadshim. Obviously, he's referring to the reform, to have Klei Zemer in the Beis HaKnesses and the Beis HaMedrash. And it doesn't matter, he says, the Nafkamina, you know, what type of Klei it is. Hakol b'chlal ha'isser, b'cheinein zeh mishanim matayi neganim bo. It doesn't matter when in davening, no instruments during davening as well. The Mishpatei Uziel, the Rishon Letzion, so he writes in Chelek Ches, another reason against playing instruments, and he feels that playing instruments during the Avoda and our Tefillah, while outside the Beis HaMikdash, is a violation of Avoda Chutz LeMikdash. He has an interesting Chiddush. It's like servicing the Beis HaMikdash outside the Beis HaMikdash. He says, V'chein Amru, Eich na shir ha-shir Hashem al Advas Nechar. How, we say, how can you sing the shir of Hashem on unholy land? V'akavana mitoch divrayam. What does it mean? She'asr la-shir shir Hashem, she'haya ne'amar b'mikdash mipiyam, she'levim b'mishmar oseyam. You cannot sing the songs of Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash with the Levim in their times, at other places. L'fichach harehi k'chol avodas ha-miyuchados b'mikdash, she'asr la-asos v'chutz b'mikdash. Any avoda of the Beis HaMikdash, you can't have outside the Beis HaMikdash. K'chol avodas ha-korbanos ha-ketores, the korbanos, the ketores, v'lo'od, in addition, el she'asi sema'idei Yisrael b'mikdash, they were done by, certain things were done by Yisrael, l'afil adei levim atzimam, shlo hismana l'shira, he asur b'hechlin is asur to take those avodas and to have them outside the Beis HaMikdash. And he quotes the Gemara in Erechin, and he says, "Mikana talamit she'asur l'chol adam miYisrael or afilu leviim a Yisrael a Levi la'asos avodah zos michutz l'mikdash have it outside the Beis HaMikdash." But kol shekein al matas nechar. So how much more so in Galus, you know, in a place not in Eretz Yisrael, v'zos ha'isa be'emes shuvasam she Yisrael leviim besocham shelo la'shir shir Hashem ba'ad mas nechar, to not have instruments playing in our shuls outside of the Beis HaMikdash. And that would seem to have a strong, strong list of osrim who would say there should not be any instruments to be playing during davening, whether it's a special Rosh Chodesh, anything like that, no guitars, things like that, bongos, all those types of things when it comes to davening. However, there may be a school of matirim. The one place that seems to be exception to this rule is the Alsnoy Shul in Prague. And there is a long, long article, a beautiful article, by Rabbi Yechiel Goldhaber, your nephew, cousin, whatever, somebody. Cousin, Rabbi Yechiel Goldhaber, in the Kovetz Beis Aaron VeYisrael in Gilyon Ayin Gimel 73. And he has it's apparently a series on Kabbalah Shabbos and different Minhagim, things like that. But he has a long, long piece about this organ in the Alsnoy Shul in Prague, in which they would play, or and they would have instruments only for Kabbalah Shabbos. They would only use it by Kabbalah Shabbos, which was done before Shkia, and they would stop at the end of Kabbalah Shabbos and put the instruments away, and then that was it. That was the only time it was used, just for Kabbalah Shabbos at that time. And this had to be dealt with by the writers of Eilat Divrei HaBris. And the reformers wanted to use it as a support to have the organ in shul, and those who were against it had to show that that was a limited place, but not for all of davening. And there's a lot of literature about the organ in the Alsnoy Shul and the instruments they would use for Kabbalah Shabbos and the different sides that would use this argument to support them as well. But it is a fascinating source that's also brought in Professor Sperber's Minhag Yisrael and Chelek Dalad. And he writes as follows. He has a quote from someone who was writing at that time. And he says, "Al davar ma she'omrim po bebeis haknesses hakadusha hakadosha Alsnoy Shul." He says, regarding the interesting meaning of the Alsnoy Shul, the Kabbalah Shabbos shnei pa'amim mizmor shel yom haShabbos. In the Alsnoy Shul in Prague, they would say mizmor shel yom haShabbos twice, not once. We say it once. They would say it twice. So, nearly, what's the reason? Pashur al pi halacha v'hu dehinei ra'isi b'sefer tzor hachayim, because they were brought. It was recorded in the Sefer Tzor HaChaim of Rav Avram Emdin and the Sefer Divrei Eilat Divrei HaBris. Then the Beis HaKnesses, there was this use of instruments. So how is this okay? The Shulchan Aruch says that Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos is Kabbalah Shabbos. So how are you playing instruments by Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos? So what would they do? They would have two Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos. The first one would be with the instruments, and that would be the fake one. And they would put the instruments away, and then they would say Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos without the instruments, which would be the real one, and now be the Kabbalah Shabbos. So it has nafkaminas in Minhagim as well, these use of instruments in Prague and the Alsnoy Shul. The weird custom of having two Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabboses is because, according to this document, the use of instruments as well. So I thought that I actually wrote a letter to Rabbi Goldhaber asking him, how come nobody seems to say that Kabbalah Shabbos is not really tefillah? He didn't write back, so I don't know. But I hear that argument as well, that it's a separate thing. So
you see that warriors will have their choir accompanying the Kabbalat Shabbat and Torah, not anything.
Correct. So that's what I thought as well. There is a comprehensive tshuva on this issue from Rav David C. Hoffman and Melamed Lahoel and Chelik Aleph and Simon Tes Zayin, and he notes that there are only really two groups of Rabbanim that expressly allow playing music during davening, even during the week. The only two groups are the Basin of Prague, who was asked about this in the early 1800s, and they said, oh, of course, during the week it's fine, led by Rav Eliezer Fleklish, the Talmud of the Nodes of Yehuda, and the ten Rabbanim of the Basin of Livorno. But besides those two Batei Din, every other writer about this topic in the 1800s and the 1900s all understood that even playing music during the week by an instrument is usser. Everybody else thought it was usser, especially on Shabbos, but even during the week it was usser to have an instrument being played, and it was only those two Batei Din of Livorno and Prague who said that during the week it was okay.
You mean sure, location or davening?
What?
Is location or davening?
It would seem to be davening. Both. It seems to be both. Nevertheless, it's clear from the Malam, but the Lahoel and contemporary authorities, that Gedolei HaPoskim understood that instruments have no place in tefillah, even for Hallel and Rosh Chodesh, and things of the like. This is noted by Rabbi Goldhaber, and also in a beautiful article written in Tchumen, which is the Torah original put out by Tzomen Eretz Yisrael, in Lamed Ches, a couple of years ago, Rav Yehoshua Van Dyke. Rav Yehoshua Van Dyke is a Rav in Eretz Yisrael, as a Rosh Yeshiva, and he notes that this was the understanding of Rav Kook as well. Rav Kook writes in the Orach Mishpat, Shahadavar Shava B'Yisrael B'Tziburim Rabim Ein L'Shum Tzibur L'Hipareh L'Ishtanos, that no Tzibur should change the custom of Jewish people to not have instruments during davening as well. And changing the way of davening is a violation of Lo Siskodidu. He quotes Rav Yaakov Ariel saying the same thing. And it seems clear from the Chassam Sofer and other Achronim that the entire issue is having instruments during the davening. If you look at the reasons of the Chassam Sofer, it would appear that he would not approve of instruments even when not davening itself. Rav Moshe has a shuvin or Gros Moshe or Rechaim Chelik Beis, that you cannot have a concert with instruments in a shul, even if it's being used to raise money for tzedakah. Okay, so that's obviously a controversial point nowadays.
What they do here, somewhere, might not be a shul.
What's that?
You know, they play the keyboard.
The keyboard, yeah, I hear. So
might not be a shul.
It's right, I hear, but I hear the issue. The Shal Shudas is a Sudas Mitzvah, so that has a heter for shul regardless.
They have events here, which
not. Ah, I got it, but at least Shal Shudas. One event at a time. The Rav Avadia Yosef's son writes in the Halacha Brura in Simen Kufn and Aleph in Orach Chaim, and he argues that the issue of having instruments during non-tefillah times is if it's kavua, to have them set up constantly having instruments, because this is the path of the reform and conservative who want to follow Chukas HaGayim. However, if it's a simcha shal mitzvah in a shul, he says, a simcha space, a shoeva, a siyam, then you can be lenient to bring instruments into the shul, as long as it doesn't lead to schok and kalas rosh. People should be able to make sure they behave at those events, and this is clearly the meaning of Klal Yisrael, he says. Rav Goldhaber says that Rav Yashiv told him that for a simcha space, a shoeva, it would be appropriate to have instruments playing in the shul, as it would be a zecher l'migdash. So he flips around the other way. It would be appropriate to have for the Simchas Pesach Shoeva, because the Simchas Pesach Shoeva is a Zecher LeMikdash, and therefore it would be appropriate to have instruments. The Sefer Shulchan Gavoa and Simon Tafka Flamet Aleph says that the Minhag Yerushalayim is to have the upshearing of a child on Chol HaMoed Sukkos in a shul with instruments playing. So there are places that are not tefillah times to have instruments, but certainly it seems to be the almost consensus of all poskim that no instruments during davening, Rosh Chodesh, things like that, Musaf, all types of things, if it's davening, proper davening, no instruments being used in shul at the end of the day. So I want to make a comment, I guess I'll piha shkafa, so people will say, you know, but it moves me, it inspires me, it's very inspirational to have the instruments, it makes it very special. So there's a comment of the Netziv at the end of Parsha Shlach. The Torah says, V'los asur acharei levavchem. You shouldn't go after your heart. So the Netziv has his commentary, and at the end he has an essay on that Parsha. And he essentially echoes his Zaydi, the Nefesh HaChaim, his Zaydi-in-law, the Nefesh HaChaim. And he says as follows, Al zeh ksiv, v'los asur acharei levavchem. Don't go after your heart. Shelo techapsu mitzvos chadashos. Don't look for new mitzvos. Mashenu al pi haTorah, that are not in the Torah. Velo nichlal b'mitzvos tzitzis, that are not under the mitzvah of tzitzis. Shebo nichlal taryag, meaning Mitzvot represents 613 mitzvos. V'lo yoser mehema. Don't do more than that. Al zes sayim hamikra. Ani Hashem elokeichem. Asher oseisi eschem eretz Mitzrayim. Lios lachem elokim. I'm Hashem who took you out of Mitzrayim to be your God. Debe eretz Mitzrayim od lo kiblu Torah mitzvos. In Mitzrayim, you did not have Torah mitzvos. V'lo yadu be'emes mehema. You didn't know what they were. Kim eze gedoli hador shayu mekubla me'avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov. There were special Jews who had a tradition from Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov regarding, you know, what their Zadis did. But most of the Jews in Mitzrayim had no idea what was flying. They had no mitzvos or anything like that. And we know that Avram, Eskola Torah, all those different types of things. Aval Bederech Klal, Nishtacha Torah Zumi Das Hamon Rabba. The Jewish people had no idea about what their Zadis did when it came to mitzvos and Mitzrayim. Umisha Yirei Hashem, whoever fears Hashem, V'chafetz Be'avodaso Hayobid Hashem Bederech Shira B'sichlo Tobiyafa. And at that time, before the Torah was given, whoever was inspired to serve Hashem did whatever they wanted to do. Whatever you felt connected to Hashem was called Avodas Hashem before the Torah was given. Aval me'eshi yatsu mitzrayim. But once we left Mitzrayim, hinchel kadosh baruch hu Torah mitzvos, Hashem told us what is Torah and what is mitzvos. V'dafka mitzvasei lo yoser. And we have established for ourselves what is the ratzon Hashem and what is not the ratzon Hashem. And it becomes dangerous when a person says, you know, this is a new practice and it inspires me to do this thing, but it was not the minhag, or people were against it in the past. Path, that is a dangerous path to go, to say, you know, this works for my avodas Hashem. But we have a Shulchan Aruch, and we have a policy and minhagim of how to conduct ourselves at the end of the day. And there are times where changes in avodas Hashem could be permitted. But as Rav Kook would famously say, Hayashon Yischadesh V'achadosh Yischadesh. Rav Kook meant is that something is okay to be new when it's already really old. If something has an old, old thing that's attached to it, then that new thing is not really new. It's really just an extension of an old practice. But we don't have such a practice here when it comes to the playing of instruments. And therefore, a mitzvah is not a chavaya. A mitzvah has to be taken with seriousness in a way that is brought down in poskim and mehagim and minhagim of Klal Yisrael as well. And I just sometimes I like to point out that we have an instrument when it comes to davening, and that is the siddur. The siddur is an instrument. The lamashal, if a person knows how to play the piano, they can play beautiful music. And if you don't know how to play the piano, so you sit down, and maybe if you're really good, you can play, you know, Mary Had a Little Lamb and Happy Birthday, but you'll play music, that's okay. The instrument is a siddur. And if your person learns how to use the siddur, to appreciate the siddur, you know what the siddur is doing, what it's saying, the words behind the siddur, the structure of the siddur, so you can use that instrument to play beautiful, beautiful music. And the siddur should be inspiring by itself, but it takes effort, it takes time to learn it, and to master it, and to get to know it. And that's the instrument we have in order to play beautiful music. And we don't need other outside instruments in order to connect us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the course of our davening.